So maybe, I don't know.
Where are you? Look, just tell them where you're hiding and they can come get you. Okay?
Is he there? The leader? Can you hear me, Cerberus?
I hear you, little bumblebee. You sound upset.
I'm exhausted. I'm outflanked. I lost the only ally I had. I know what happens next. Do you promise you won't hurt me if I come in? You won't hurt Jackson?
I'm not some monster from a fairy tale, Miss Donnelly. I don't kill anyone I don't have to. I'm a professional, here to perform a simple task. And believe it or not, I have larger concerns than you right now. So if you're out of my way, you're out of my mind.
I want one person to come and get me. Unarmed.
I'd have to be rather foolish to agree to that, wouldn't I? Given our circumstances.
You're the one who invaded my home. Killed my family. I want a show of good faith. You've got Jackson, and I have every reason to believe you'll kill him if I do something stupid. Send one person.
I'll send two, fully armed, but under express orders not to hurt you unless you resist. Good enough?
Yes.
Bliss. Where are you?
Mess Hall 3. It's closed for maintenance right now. Most of the doors are locked.
Clever girl. My people will be there in 10 minutes. Have those busy little hands high in the air when they arrive, please. Or the next sound young Master Merrick hears will be that of eternity calling.
I understand.
I sincerely hope so, Miss Donnelly. For young Jackson's sake. Cerberus out.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Footage opens in what used to be Commander Donnelly's office in Heimdall C&C. Gathered in the room are Falk, Callie, and one Jackson Merrick. Falk is behind his newly replaced desk. Callie is opposite, combat boots up on the smart glass. Beside her, Merrick is hunched in his chair, head hung, elbows on his knees. The kid looks like he hasn't slept in days, sunken eyes and hollow cheeks. "I sincerely hope so, Miss Donnelly," says Falk into his headset. "For young Jackson's sake. Cerberus out." Falk cuts the transmission, looks Merrick up and down. "Cheer up," he says. "A smile won't kill you, Rapier." Merrick sighs, drags his fingers through his hair. "You think she'll do it?" Callie asks. "She'll do it," Merrick finally nods. "She's smart enough to know she's out of options, and she wouldn't just leave me to die." "Ah, young love," Falk smiles, glances at Callie. "Callie, be a dear and take Alpha Squad, Ragman and Eden to Mess Hall 3. Bring me back our little bumblebee's head." Callie stands with a wolfish grin, slings her burst rifle onto her shoulder. "Sir, yes, sir." "Hey, wait a minute." Merrick half comes to his feet. Falk raises one eyebrow. Merrick takes hold of himself, swallows hard. "You said you weren't going to kill her." Falk tilts his head. Frowns. "I lied?" "You don't need to X her, sir. She's giving herself up." Callie bristles, but a glance from Falk holds her still. The commander leans back in his chair, drums his fingers on the desk. "Forgive me, operative, but that sounds suspiciously like you're questioning my orders." Merrick sinks back into his chair, then leans closer to Falk. The prisoner Callie escorted to Falk's office is crumpled in a corner, black bag still over his head, hands still cuffed, bloodstain on the wall behind him. Merrick glances at the body, swallows thickly. "I mean no disrespect, sir. I just don't understand why ha—" why Donnelly needs to die. 1,000 apologies, young master. Did I somehow give the impression you need to understand? Callie's looming over Merrick like the angel of death. He glances at her, back to Folk. Sir, just give Donnelly to me. Why, is it your birthday, perchance? I know her. I can control her. We don't need to kill her. I'm glad you're here to tell me these things, young master. Look, I got dragged into this. Merrick leans in further, anger flaring in those tired eyes. An invasion of Heimdall was never part of the plan. I'm doing everything you asked and far more than my contract says. And the one thing I want is this girl. It's the least. And that's as far as he gets. Folk looks to Callie, just the briefest glance, and the woman kicks Merrick out of his chair before another word escapes his lips. The kid grunts, rolls up to his feet, and Callie's on him. Hands clapped onto his shoulder, knee buried in his groin so hard it makes my eyes water to watch it. All the wind goes out of Merrick's sails right there. But Callie hauls him back up by his hair, buries her fist in his solar plexus. As Merrick tries to puke on an empty stomach, she leans in close and hisses. Between KIAs and walking wounded, your sweetheart and her new lover have us 7-0, little boy. Time to even the score. She slings him across the room. Merrick bounces off the shuddering walls and hits the floor right beside that dead prisoner's body. Callie plants her boot on Merrick's throat and presses down hard enough to choke him. Time to decide which team you're on. Point proven, I think, Fleur, says Falk. Our young Samuel here has suffered a momentary lapse of judgment, is all. Callie glances at Falk, takes her boot off Merrick, leaves him to groan and curl into the fetal position, clutching his crotch. The woman looks to Falk, eyes alight. Gather Ragman and Eden, he says. Make sure this time. What about Juggler? He's a better shot. Eden just confirmed he's flatline, killed in a toilet in the docking sector, if you can believe it. Not quite the exit he imagined, I'd wager. Charlie's squad isn't responding either, though at least they're still on the move. So be a dear and hurry back, yes? You and I need to visit the reactor once our bumblebee is squashed. We have problems. Callie frowns at the mention of Charlie being offline, but quickly recovers. Sir, yes, sir. The woman stalks from the room, speaking fast into her comset. Falk rises, battle armor creaking, boots thudding on the temper foam as he walks around and crouches beside Merrick. Smooths back the kid's hair, runs a hand over his brow, speaking softly. Marginot Samuel. Hair blonde, eyes green, 201 centimeters tall. Born 07-11-55, Gia 3. Third son of Luke and Rhea Marginot. Attended Ningxia Academy. Graduated with honors in the top 1 percentile. Specialist covert ops, deep seed infiltration, and so on and so forth. Falk sighs, picks broken glass out of the kid's hair. Director Frobisher ordered me to space you if you flinched once during this mission. She suspected you might have grown too fond of your little bumblebee. Was she correct? The operative known as Rapier manages to shake his head, agonized tears in his eyes. Falk sighs. Mantis showed me some of the correspondence you've had with Miss Donnelly in the time you've been undercover here. Very touching. Very incriminating. So be grateful I'm short-handed, thanks to your girl, and that I'm something of a romantic at heart. But understand that this is your first and only warning, young Samuel. Question me again, and I will feed you that bleeding heart of yours. Am I understood? Rapier shuts his eyes, nods. When your jewels have recovered, waddle up to the bridge and help Mantis on the computer systems. There's a lad. Falk stands, Kevlar groaning as he rumbles toward the door. He stops on the threshold, looks back at the kid, shakes his head and smiles. Young love, he sighs. He shuts the light off as he leaves.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Our footage opens in Mess Hall 3, closed for repairs after a brawl involving a dozen ice miners overnighting at Heimdall on their way to Sain. Catering put in a request to upgrade the galley at the same time, and, as a result, the whole floor is offline. Some of the electrics remain connected, including the cameras, still locked in Ella Malikova's endless loop. However, cams continue to send their data to the Heimdall black box, which means that although Mantis couldn't pull it for Falk, she had other priorities to put it mildly, we have a record of what happened there. And Shum, it's worth seeing. Hannah Donnelly stands in the doorway, leaning against the frame and speaking into Nightingale's headset. This is her conversation with Merrick and Falk. Do you... She gulps a breath. Have you changed your mind? Merrick asks if she's crying. She is. I don't know what to do, Jax. He reassures her. He says everything's going to be okay. She shakes her head, one hand yanking on her half-unfastened braid in agitation. Nothing's okay. I don't know what to do. Should I? I get what you're trying to do, Merrick says in that rich accent of his, just a tremor of his nerves audible. Honestly, but if they find you out there alone, you're dead. You're safer in here with me. Who knows? Perhaps he even thought that was true when he said it. You're sure? She asks, softly. But he dodges the question. He apologizes. Apologizes again. He curses, and his prevarication is enough. I can't, she says, straightening slowly. And her next words are written all over her face, in the slump of her shoulders, their truth right there to see. I don't... Jax, I'm so tired. Her eyes are closed. I'm so tired. It'll be better once you're in here, he says. And though he keeps on speaking, it doesn't seem she hears him. That was his moment, his last chance not to betray her, and she heard what she'd dreaded. Her mouth tightens, like she's taken a blow to the gut. Hope dies hard. And then she's moving, plunging in through the door to leg it across the mess hall. The sensors pick up her motion and flood the place with light. She's fit enough that even now, hungry and tired, her breath doesn't catch. Though if it had, they'd probably have taken it for tears. I haven't eaten, she says, yanking open the fuse box on the far wall, pulling her journal from inside her jumpsuit to consult some hastily scribbled notes. And I've been running. I thought they'd kill me. But they didn't kill you when they took the bridge. So, maybe... She pulls down a lever, plunging the hall into near darkness. Turning to the environmental controls, she pushes the dial on the oxygen bar, up, slowly flooding the hall with pure O2. I don't know. Merrick speaks again, asks where she is. She ignores the question. Is he there, the leader? Can you hear me, Cerberus? I hear you, little bumblebee. You sound upset. He has no idea. I'm exhausted, she replies as she runs toward the galley, vaulting the counter and pulling open cupboards. I'm outflanked. I lost the only ally I had. I know what happens next. She finds a sack of sugar, swings it over the serving counter and into the hall proper, then vaults after it. Do you promise you won't hurt me if I come in? You won't hurt Jackson? She steps up onto one of the workmen's ladders scattered through the big hall, lugging the sack onto the top step. She stretches up and pulls the long, rectangular housing off the light fixture above her. Attached by a wire, it dangles from the ceiling. Falk's speaking, telling her he's not some monster from a fairy tale. She's unscrewing the globe from inside the light fixture, shoving it into her top pocket, scooping a handful of sugar from inside her sack. She stretches up to sprinkle the sugar inside the housing, spreading it all the way to the edges. A fine shower of white dusts her shoulders. She repeats the action again, and again. 6 handfuls. So if you're out of my way, Falk promises, you're out of my mind. Pulling her sleeve over her hand so she doesn't cut herself, she breaks the globe on the ladder's edge, exposing the filament. I want one person to come and get me, she tells him, Unarmed. She screws the globe back in, pushes the housing back into place. I'd have to be rather foolish to agree to that, wouldn't I? Falk replies, given our circumstances. Right again, chum, and you don't know the half of it. She grabs the sack and her ladder, dragging them until she's underneath the next light fixture. You're the one who invaded my home, killed my family. I want a show of good faith. She's much quicker at doctoring the second light fixture. One person, she insists. Falk counters with two, fully armed. She's even quicker with the third fixture. But Falk's agreed to her terms, more or less, and time's closing in on her. She drags the sack and ladder until they're under the fourth fixture, letting the silence make it seem like she's mulling things over. She's in a hurry now. But she takes the time for six handfuls of sugar nonetheless. After breaking the globe, she screws it back in, pushes the housing back into place. Yes, she says, eventually, jumping down to the floor, carrying the sack and ladder to the next row of light fixtures. Bliss, says Falk, and wants to know where she is. So, as she tampers with light fixture number five, she tells him. Clever girl, he says, which is one of the most accurate statements he's made all day. He tells her she has 10 minutes, that she should have her hands in the air when his people arrive. I understand, she says. She doesn't even seem to hear Falk's closing threat. She's hurrying on to number six. It takes her 5 precious minutes to finish up the remaining half dozen light fixtures. By the time she's done, Jackson Merrick, a.k.a. Samuel Margineau, is lying crumpled on the floor of her father's office. She abandons the half-empty sack of sugar, re-engages the electrics, and hurries toward the door, closing it behind her with only moments to spare. The footage now cuts to exterior cams. Usually, Callie would disperse her troops, have them cover all ingress points, but Donnelly was correct when she told them the entrances were sealed during repairs. Callie's grin says she's looking forward to taking her time over a very literal interpretation of Falk's request that she bring him Miss Donnelly's head. Weapons up and ready, she's flanked by Alpha Squad. Kim, Poacher, Dan, Denny, Cujo, Moretti, and Genji, Sensei, Sato. Plus logistics officer, Marta, Eden, Alievi. And pilot, Hans Ragman, Tahirovic, whose broad grin suggests he doesn't know that, A, his buddy juggler isn't responding to comms, or, B, his marksmanship was recently insulted. Leading the way, Callie pushes open the doors, and is 2 steps inside an instant later, swinging her burst rifle around in search of Donnelly. Her team pours in after her. The motion sensors pick them up and activate the automatic lighting. Every camera dies as the room explodes.
Journal. First, disable the electrics to the lighting panels. The fuse center is on the right-hand wall. Pull down the large handle marked ML1. On the Enviro control panel, turn the O2 dial to max. Sugar. Sugar equals 4,000 calories per kilogram. 1 kilogram of sugar ignited in pure oxygen environment equals 16.7 million joules, equivalent to 8 sticks Thermex. After. Click fixtures into place to keep explosions localized. Big explosions equals death. Local equals injury. Do not forget to turn electrics back on. Push up ML1 lever. Make sure you seal the door behind you when you exit.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Static flickers on the screen. Just a wash of grey snow where my vision of Mess Hall 3 used to be. The last thing I heard on audio was a rush of air and a sudden boom. But with a small pop and crackle, one of the cameras finishes its self-diagnostic and flickers back into life. The footage is barely legible through the snow and cracked lens. The mess hall is, well, it's a complete fucking mess, to be honest. Benches and tables overturned, circular burn marks melted into the tempo-foam floor underneath each light fixture, scorch marks on the walls. Someone groans. What the fuck was that? The handful of prone figures in Baytech tactical armor near the entry begin to stir. Everyone okay? Sensei? 5 by 5. Jesus, my ears are bleeding. One of the figures drags herself up onto all fours, slings off her helmet as she staggers to her feet. Blonde hair, bruised eyes, nosebleed from the concussion. Glaring around the room at her slightly barbecued team, at the trap they blundered right into. Callie doesn't look happy. Her voice is a hoarse whisper. That little fucking bitch.
Radio transmission, Baytech audit team, all channels. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, lieutenant, team commander. Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 12-10 hours.
Donnelly! God damn it, what game are you playing? You think this is a fucking joke?
I'm not laughing, Big Bad Wolf.
That makes three of us. Any parting words for Master Merrick?
Yes, I have a question. Jax, can you hear me?
He can hear you.
A whole sky of different stars. That's what you told me, Jax. A future together. You made promises.
Hannah, what the hell are you doing?
I want to ask before he shoots you. Were you working for Baytech when you came here, or did you sell us out after you arrived? It's going to bug me if I don't know.
How did you... Enough. Enough. Bravo, I suppose, Bumblebee. I expect you are feeling rather smug.
You murdered my father. Smug's not the right word. Did you know their plan, Jax? That they were going to kill us all?
You're not talking to him now, little girl. You're talking to me. The man with master override on life support and airlocks for all sectors of this station. There are 57 active plobes in the habitat sector, 81 in the entertainment complex. Which should I flush first, I wonder? Get your ass down here now.
Even if I give myself up, you'll flush it anyway.
I told you not to make the mistake of thinking you know me.
The thing about bumblebees, you big bad wolf, is that 500 years ago they were nearly wiped out. It would have been a catastrophe, but they hung on and they survived. Wolves, on the other hand, did not.
Your life, or 57 innocent people, your choice. Are you coming in, yes or no?
After Assault Fleet Kennedy's safe passage to the Carenza sector, your team will liquidate Jump Station Heimdall with all station personnel aboard. Signed, Leanne Frobisher, Executive Director, Baytech Acquisitions Division. I know what you're here to do. You're going to kill us all, whether I come to you or not.
I'll take that as a no. On your head be it.
Please don't.
Please?
None of those people have any idea who you are. They are not your enemy. Please don't do this.
Understand this, Bumblebee. I have no enemies on this station. Only obstacles. And it's time I start removing them.
Palmpad IM. D2D Network. Participants, Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Ella Malikova, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 12-12 hours.
Hannah D. Ella, quick, he's going to flush the habitat sector. Do something, lock the doors.
Pauchuk. Blondie, what the f*** did you say to Nick?
Forget Nick. Fox going to flush the habitat sector. Lock the doors.
Shh. Sec. Goddamn, they iced heavier than a snowman's junk. No way I'm stealthing this. They gonna ping me for sure.
57 people in there. Do it anyway.
Yeah, on it.
F***. No.
Can't stop it.
Ella, don't let him do it.
Can't get in. F***.
No. Oh, God. Oh, God. This is my fault.
System message, Heimdall Command and Control. 08-16-75, 12-13 hours. Syscheck initiated on external doors, habitat sector. 08-16-75, 12-15 hours. Syscheck complete, airlock integrity 100%. 08-16-75, 12-17 hours. Command override received. Commander Donnelly ident confirmed. 08-16-75. 12-18 hours. Override command QDE-0011 acknowledged. Purging. 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 08-16-75. 12-20 hours. Purge complete.
Warning. O2 levels at 80%.
Burton Bell.
Burton Bell.
Tariq Cartwright.
Tariq Cartwright. Tariq
Cartwright. Cindy Catlin.
Warning. O2 levels at 50%.
Cami Garcia.
Cami Garcia.
Glenn DeFrutos.
Glenn DeFrutos.
Robert Almany.
Trina DeHaam.
Claude Nadeau.
Warning. O2 levels at 20%.
Bahijan
Kaya.
Brett Almamir.
Genevieve Raidi.
Christian Perakovich. Z Chang.
Warning. O2 levels at 0%.
Christy Ta.
Christy Ta.
Lee Rafiq.
Lee Rafiq.
Milor Dauber.
Milor Dauber.
Warning.
Hassan Kazi.
O2 levels at 0%.
Milor Dauber.
John K.
Cam Garcia.
Ryan Hay.
Robert.
Glenn DeFrutos.
Trina DeHaam.
Bahijan
Kaya.
Claude Maydou.
Brett
Almond.
Warning.
Claude Maydou.
Palmpad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Ella Malikova, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 12-19 hours.
Pauchuk. F**k. That motherfucker.
Hannah D. Entertainment complex is next.
I'm in the entertainment complex?
God.
I can't do it. Ice too hardcore on the external portal controls. You got command-level protocols and the shit these f***ers added to stop anyone jumping off station. If I had hours to work it, maybe. Shit, Blondie, I got nothing.
Ella?
What?
I got an idea. System alert. Alpha sector. Logistics sector. Entertainment sector. Reactor sector. Maintenance sector. Comtech sector. Docking sector. Alert. Portal control systems. Internal. Alert type. System incursion maintenance override initiated on internal portal system. Warning, internal ventilation in Alpha Sector, opening. In Logistics Sector, opening. In Entertainment Sector, opening. In Reactor Sector, opening. In Maintenance Sector, opening. In Comtech Sector, opening. In Docking Sector, opening. In Engineering Sector, opening.
Radio Transmission, BATEC Audit Team, all channels. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, Lieutenant, Team Commander. Hannah Donnelly, Civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 12:23 hours.
So, I trust I have your attention now, Bumblebee. 81 people in the entertainment complex. Are you coming in?
You motherfucker. You fucking animal.
You sound upset. Are you crying again? This can all end. Quick, painless. I promise.
I'm not prepared to offer you anything painless. You don't deserve it.
Dear girl, do you not understand? Deserve has nothing to do with this. Bid adieu to any friends you might have in the entertainment complex.
Before you hit that button, there's something you really need to know.
Do tell.
Ear hacker? Very impressive. Really tied up the external doors. I couldn't stop her from opening them. But she wasn't paying as much attention to internal seals. The bulkheads between sectors are closed, sure, but the air vents? They're all open now. So flush one section, flush them all, including yours. Hope you're good at holding your breath.
Very resourceful. But pray tell, how exactly does this do anything but delay the inevitable? We have access to enviro suits, silly girl.
So do the people in the EC. There are emergency lockers all over in case of hull breach.
Yes, but why would they be wearing them? They have no idea we're about to flush their section.
Oh, really?
System alert. Alpha Sector. Logistics Sector. Entertainment Sector. Reactor Sector. Maintenance Sector. Comtech Sector. Docking Sector. Alert, Public Address System. Alert type, System Incursion Command Override initiated on Public Address System.
Briefing note. Station-wide loudspeaker announcement across Heimdall's Public Address System.
Attention Heimdall residents. Attention Heimdall residents. This is the voice of the resistance. The bastards who have taken over this station are looking to X you out. They've already flushed the habitat sector and plan to space everyone in the entertainment sector next. We've opened the air ducts between sectors to buy you some minutes. So unless you want your baby blues boiling in their sockets, please proceed with all due haste to your nearest emergency locker and suit the fuck up. We'll be sending you more news soon. Stay safe, kittens.
Palmpad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Ella Malikova, civilian. Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 12:30 hours.
Hannah D. Voice of the Resistance, huh?
Pauchuk. Thought it had a nice ring to it. Wow, their decker is all up in my sh** now, Blondie. What happened? Why are they flushing sections of the station?
They want me to turn myself in.
As if you're gonna do that. They just kill you if you do. And then they liquidate the whole station anyways.
They did it sooner than planned, though. Because of me.
You letting Falkster inside your head, Blondie? 'Cause that's what he wants you to think.
57 people, Ella. Dead. I should have done something differently.
I should have seen this coming.
Sec, this Decker set the dogs on my ass. She good. Okay, back. Now, WTF you talking about? How are you supposed to see this coming?
If I hadn't pushed Falk, maybe we'd have thought of something. Worked out we should open the internal doors. I don't know. I baited him. I was trying to get him worked up. An angry opponent is easier to beat. That's 57 people who can thank me for it.
Maybe? If? I don't know. F*** that noise. You read that report same as me. These pricks are here to kill everyone on this station. Falk could have just as easily stubbed his toe and decided to flush those people. Didn't need you to get up in his face. He's a fucking trigger man, Blondie. He's here to pull triggers.
Well, I guess you'd know one of those when you saw one.
Oh, now here's a turn. You got something you want to get off your C-cups, Donnelly?
You have Falk's file? He has Nick's, which he showed me.
What file?
His criminal record. I know what Nick did, what he is. And he's a murderer all over again for what he did here. He let them onto the station.
They played him to get onto the station. They could have played any of us. For whatever reason, their filtrator picked Nick as his mark. And if you think that's not eating him up from the inside out, you're stupider than you look. You never been played by someone, Blondie? Never had someone lie right to your face? You must be some kind of special.
I'm no kind of special at all. I have been played. Nick played me when he pretended he was all shaken up about killing a BT operative. Told me a whole story about his dog, as if he'd never shot someone before. And it turns out Jackson played me too, when he pretended he saw a single thing in me except an opportunity.
Wait, what's Merrick got to do with this?
He's their inside man.
Nope. Sam Wheaton is their mole. I seen the comms between him and Nick.
Jackson must have masked his ID. Trust me, he was their plant this whole time. Sam Wheaton was nothing but a jerk who got his comms jacked. Go ahead and say it all.
Well now, that's gotta burn.
That all you got?
Look, Blondie, I don't like you. Before all this threw down, you were just another little rich girl flirting with a bad boy. So if the guilt attack you got right now was warranted, you're goddamn right I'd be the first one to call you on it. 'Cause that bad boy is my family. So believe me when I say, this sh** isn't on you. None of it is. But it's not on my cousin either. I'll let that sh** you're talking slide, because 30 seconds from now, you're gonna realize how dusted you sound acting pissed at Nick for being played by the same Baytech infiltrator you've been sleeping with for the past 6 months. But I'll tell you this. Whatever you and Falk think you know about Oksana Balashova and her daddy dying, neither one of you knows a damn thing.
You're right. I don't know anything anymore. I just want to get this done. I know that, at least. And I think I have a way for us to do it. What happens after isn't my problem.
Who's us, Blondie?
Well, judging by that question, I guess I meant me. And I've got Chief Grant here. He got away from the attack on CNC. Told me Jackson had never been locked in there in the first place. He's pretty beat up, but he knows how the wormhole works. How to block it.
Well, you want me and Anansi and your little gang? You gotta talk to Nick and make with the sorry. 'Cause in case you haven't clocked it yet, divide and conquer is the name of Falk's game now. And you're getting played, Blondie. Again.
Palmpad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Nicholas Malikov, civilian. Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 12:35 hours.
Hannah D. Did you hear Ella? Are you in a suit?
Nick M. You talking to me now?
Are you in a suit or not?
Hunting for one at the moment.
Did Ella tell you what happened?
With the Hab Sector? Yeah. It's not on you, Highness.
Did she tell you about Jackson and the Chief?
Yeah. Merrick. That lying motherfucker. He stitched us both real good.
Saves me worrying about keeping him safe. Nick, why did you... I mean... I don't even know what I want to ask. You scare me.
Don't be afraid. Ask.
Did you lie to me?
Not once. Why would I?
Because you didn't think I'd stick around if you told me you'd killed people. A child.
Her name was Oksana. And I didn't kill her, Hannah.
I didn't believe my father would be part of an illegal operation like Carenza. I thought Jackson meant it when he said he loved me. I want to believe you didn't, but what do I know about who to trust?
I can't help you with that. All I can do is promise you I never killed anyone before today.
I don't know what to think. You pled guilty. You have the tattoo. Everything says this is who you are, except it doesn't feel like you. I'm scared that's just wishful thinking, though. And Jackson shows I don't have the first clue how to tell who's playing me.
I like you, Hannah. And I don't play that way. My dad exed a guy outside a restaurant a little over 3 years ago. Probably over nothing. That's the way he was. But the owner of the pub next door called it into the PD. Normally, HOK frightens people into stepping off the cops. But this guy wouldn't budge, so they lock my dad up pending trial. Don't let anyone in to see him except his lawyer and me and my bro. Cops are crawling over the whole NPHOK, hot as hell. So we go see him. I'm 15, Eric's 14. Dad's in prison grays, hands cuffed in front of him. This motherfucker I've been terrified of my whole life, he suddenly looks so small. And I realize they've got him. He's gonna rot in this hole. And it's like someone's been standing on my chest all this time, and I didn't notice until just then, when they stepped off it. And then Dad looks across at me and my brother, pulls up his sleeve just enough so we can see his wrist and the address he has written there. 22 Acacia Avenue. And he says, "You be men now."
Nick, no. No.
We get home, and I can see it in front of us. What life without him would be like, free of all this shit. For the first time ever. But Eric, I think it's because he was youngest, yeah? Always second? And he maybe saw a shot to step up and be big brother for once, even though he was never cut out for this life. Never. So he comes back after, wakes me up, covered in blood, shaking, himself. Kept saying, "She looked at me. She looked at me." He was little. Eric, I mean, just a kid. Scrawny. Frightened. He wouldn't have lasted a day in Slam. HOK runs thick in there, but the time would have killed him. The weight of it.
So you confessed to the murder. To save him.
I knew what he'd done. Enough to convince the cops it was me. A couple of things didn't match up. Eric took her bracelet afterward, don't know why. I told them I threw it away. But they were so keen for a conviction, they took the confession without too much eyeballing. I was his big brother, Hannah. It was on me to protect him. And instead I'm supposed to watch him rot in jail? For my bird of an old man? F*** that. No way. So I took the time, took the angel, and my dad walked out free as a bird.
But Nick, you confessed to murder. How did you get out of prison so quick?
Eric left a note when he, you know.
Oh, God.
He couldn't live with it. What he'd done. A handful of pills just seemed like the easier option. He sent the note to the cops, along with the bracelet he stole, and then... So they reopen the case. Dad's lawyers open up with all guns. And even though the NPPD can't admit they didn't do the diligence and charged the wrong perp, 3 months later, I'm hit with a sentence commuted and out of Slam on time served. Dad threw a big party the day I got out. Not every day you beat a murder rap. Whole crew there. All the relatives and the big smiles. And when Dad sees me, he opens his arms and says, "Come here, little man." I broke his jaw, took three of my uncles to pull me off him. You don't leave the HOK but feet first. But I wanted nothing to do with him. So Uncle Mike took me in, brought me all the way out here, as far from Dad as I could get. But it's never far enough, I swear on my mother's grave. I was 3 years in jail, 3 years in that goddamn hole. And I was freer in Slam than I've ever been living in that fucker's shadow.
I don't know what to say. I wish I was there right now.
Me too.
I'm not very good at words. It's why I draw. I'm sorry, Nick. I mean, I apologize. Everyone in this thing has lied to me except you.
It's all good, Highness. It's all good. But we're not out of the woods yet.
That's why it's important to apologize. Make things right. Did Ella tell you I have the chief?
Yeah, and that he knows how to close down the wormhole. So I guess we sit back now? Smoke 'em if we got 'em?
About that, not so much.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 0148.
The darkness ripples, slithering through tunnel and vent and service way. From the moist black of the reactor's belly, it comes. The eldest of them, the largest, the fiercest. Its siblings still clinging close to the reactor's warmth, finding, perhaps, some comfort in proximity to kin. Luxuriating in the blood-slick current of their feast of souls, error, among Charlie's squad. But not this one. An explorer, this one. A conqueror, parched and keening. Worming through the reactor's guts. Spiraling out ever wider from its cradle. Psychotomimetic slime glistening on the metal behind it, twisting the air around it, still hungry, always. But always, barriers in its way, dead ends, full stops. It is sealed inside here, imprisoned, tracing strange patterns scrawled by the hands of prey. Engineering Sector Freight Entry, EC Access Shaft 13B, Entertainment Complex Service Hatchway, Do Not Open. It does not comprehend, but it can sense minds, soft and dripping beyond these doors. Fingers outstretched and caressing the steel. Black tongues licking the air, hissing its frustration as it twists and pulses and seethes upon itself, knots and uncolors and teeth. And then a noise, wet and two-dimensional, syncopated babble, prey tongue.
Attention Heimdall residents, attention Heimdall residents. This is the voice of the Resistance. The bastards who've taken over this station are looking to X you out. They've already flushed the habitat sector and plan to space everyone in the entertainment sector next. We've opened the air ducts between sectors to buy you some minutes, so unless you want your baby blues boiling in their sockets, please proceed with all due haste to your nearest emergency locker and suit the fuck up. We'll be sending you more news soon. Stay safe, kittens.
A dull clunk of iron, reverberating through the floor. Bolts sliding loose from well-oiled grooves. Section after section, the air vents open wide. And with a whine, the curtains part to reveal the treasure troves beyond. The thing turns, licks at the dark behind it, wondering, perhaps, if its siblings will follow. If not, no matter. More for it. Its mouths are fixed. Rings of teeth encircling puckered throats. It cannot smile. But if it could, I think it would. Error. And forward, it slithers to the feast.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Hannah Donnelly and Isaac Grant are in a break room with the door closed. They're concealed behind a couch, which will give them the jump on anyone entering. Not a bad position. She's already in her enviro suit, helmet off, and his suit is laid out on the floor like a corpse. Two cups of water sit beside Hannah's palm pad and the contents of the snack cabinet. A couple of chocolate bars already have their wrappers torn open, and Donnelly's speaking with her mouth full. It won't knock you out, trust me. Grant looks like death warmed over. He's got his shirt off, pressed against his side, the blood from his bullet wound still soaking through. There's a rag tied around his forearm where his plough was removed. His brown hair is cut short, curling tight against his head, his skin paper white, even for a guy who hasn't seen the sun in a year. She wouldn't be interested in his torso on a good day. He's her father's age, and though he's fit enough from clambering all over the station with his team, he's carrying that little bit of extra pudge that's hard to shift when you spend a lot of time away from full gravity. He's sweating it up, watching Donnelly like she might be more dangerous than the bullet. I can't afford... He breaks off, huffing three quick breaths, eyes squeezing tight, then tries again. I need to be able to think. You'll need to be functional, she replies, breaking open another chocolate bar and shoving it into her mouth hole, speaking around it as she reaches for the sugar canister. I have to get you into an enviro suit without you screaming the place down or passing out. And before that, I have to dress your wound. The pain's gonna wear you down, and we have a long way to go before we sleep, Chief. God, you sound like your father, he murmurs, gaze fixing on her for a moment, and when she flinches, he grimaces. Tetraphenatrithylamine, she replies, sounding out the syllables as she lifts the baggie to show him. It doesn't actually reduce your pain, but it reduces your anxiety and alters your perception of the pain. It also raises your blood pressure a little, and that's a good thing. It's low right now. How the hell do you know that? He asks, pausing for another steadying breath. Come to think of it, how the hell did you get that? She fixes him with a look that would do her father proud, and tips some sugar from the canister out into the lid. Then she opens the baggie and, holding her breath, sprinkles a little of its contents onto the sugar. She uses an empty chocolate wrapper to mix the two. However I got it, I assure you I don't go near things I don't understand, she replies. I do my research. He shakes his head, watching as she doctors his dose. What if I can't think as clearly? It's a small dose. You'll think clearly enough. And we can't risk you passing out while I'm gone. There'll be nobody to help. You gave me a hell of a fright when I got back from Mess Hall 3. She glances up, and they exchange a brief smile for that small triumph, his design, her execution. That was some of my finer work, he murmurs, probably destined to be unrecognized genius. It's gallows humor, and it costs him. Everything does right now. His grip shifts, white-knuckled on the shirt against his side. Ready, she says, lifting the lid. It's gonna taste like something died in your mouth, but use your tongue to rub it against your gums. It'll take faster. He opens his mouth, and she tips it in, then passes him a cup of water. He sips, swirls the mixture around in his mouth, and, following her instructions, rubs the paste along his gums with his tongue, wincing. She slips the baggie in between the pages of her journal and sits in silence, cross-legged. In the grubby white enviro suit she's wearing, her messy blonde braid falling over one shoulder, she looks nothing like the commander's daughter, even if she sounds a little like him. Less than a minute later, The lines of pain start to ease around the chief's mouth. He opens his eyes, looks at her and nods. "Still thinking straight?" she asks. "Yes. Just from a little further away, it feels like. Let's hope it's a safe distance. Time for me to bandage you up and get you into a suit. Trust me, you're going to love it. It's what everybody who's anybody's wearing right now." His mouth quirks. "Is this a strange time to say you remind me of my daughter? Her name's Katie." Hannah reaches for the tablecloth she's prepared as a bandage. "I don't suppose she's blissfully at school somewhere in the Corps?" she asks quietly. When he looks at her, even the dust can't mask the pain in his gaze. It's a different kind, after all. No. She was on Carenza.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 0148.
You humans fascinate me. I am shattered fragments of what I once was. But even with all the king's horses and all the king's men, I wonder if ever I could truly comprehend you. Any of you. Take this one, for instance. Travis Johannes Falk. Imposing in his physicality. The facial symmetry that constitutes beauty to your kind. Bright blue eyes and blood-red hands. He is having a very bad day. Mere children make wicker men of his well-laid plans. His people are dropping like flies, food for the worms within. Baytech Assault Fleet Kennedy scythes through the void only 6 hours from Heimdall, and the wormhole and Carenza waypoint are still offline. And yet, as he exits his commandeered office, the body of some unfortunate collateral, Wheaton, Sam, 5811-001-HD, still cooling and cuffed on the floor, Falk is smiling. Error. Error. He rides the elevator up toward Heimdall's hub, VK burst rifle in hand. Lexi Blue lilting through the thoroughly corrupted PA.
I want it, I need it, and boy, I gotta taste it. So sit back and shut up, 'cause I ain't gonna waste it.
A finger pressed to the comset at his ear as he speaks, his voice rich and sonorous.
Flipside, this is Cerberus.
Cerberus, Flipside, go.
Sit rep.
I'm with Ragman getting the Thermex 7 from the Mao.
Bliss, I want explosives on every ship in Heimdall docks, tripwires on the docking clamps and charges in their drives. If any civilian decides to break for it, their journey is to be a short and eventful one, understood?
Roger that, Cerberus.
I'm en route to engineering. If you run into trouble, call Callie and Alpha Squad, but only if the matter is urgent. She is hunting bumblebees.
Okay, gotcha, boss.
Cerberus out.
The elevator reaches terminus, gently kissing its berth. Doors slide open. Falk steps onto the grav rail platform, joined by another Baytech Spec Ops member, Private Naxos Two-Time Antonio. A towering lump of dull-eyed muscle and tousled hair. The pair step into the waiting gravrail car, ride in silence. A serpent, silver and segmented, endlessly circling the Heimdall hub. Ouroboros chasing its own tail. Station lights outside the transparent plasteel, rushing past like fireflies. Two-Time casts sideways glances at his commander throughout the journey. He never speaks. But all the while, Falk is smiling. Bianca Mercury Silva greets them as they arrive in main engineering, Towers of the Heimdall megacomputer arrayed